view in the business field, taken on March 25th, 1986. The people that are with us, you are?
I am Norm Overby.
Norman Overby, and?
I'm Marge Overby.
And you always go by Marge, or is it Marjorie, or?
My name is actually Marjorie, but most people call me Marge.
All right, in your businesses, is that the way the records are usually set up, is Norman Overby and?
Marjorie Ellen Norman Marjorie. Old.
All right. Where do you live now?
We live on Pelican Lake, close to Pelican Rapids, Minnesota, and are retired there.
In retirement, do you have hobbies that you're pursuing?
Believe it or not, I still grow a few flowers every spring as a hobby.
And where do you do that? In your house, on the, or do you have other facilities?
We have a small greenhouse right across the street from where we live on the lake, and it's about 30 by 60 feet, and we operate that for about 3 months in the spring.
Marge, do you have some hobbies?
I have lots of hobbies, besides Norm. I like to play golf, and I like to ride on our pontoon, but best of all, I like to have a collection of seashells, because part of the time we live in Harlingen, Texas, and I like to gold plate things like leaves and lettuce and go to craft shows and sell them. Once a peddler, always a peddler.
Once a peddler, always a peddler. That can bring us into the business that you have pursued throughout your lifetime, but maybe before we do that, we'd like to get a little bit of your background, where each of you were born, and Norm, where were you born, and where did you go to high school, and so on?
I was born right here in Moorhead, and right, to be exact, right on the same property where our business is.
And that was located at?
That was located at 1301 2nd Street South, where the business was, and my old residence where I was born and raised is 1323 Rivershore Drive. And I don't know what to say about that.
What was the name of your parents? What were your parents' name?
My father's name was Nels H. Overby.
What was his business?
He was a truck farmer all his life. Grew vegetables on 36 acres of land right where the town and country flower business is now.
Okay, today on March 25th, 1986, Moorhead is a city of about 30,000. At the address that you gave, was there land available for farming in those days, or was Moorhead?
There was a lot of land at the time we built the business, which was in 1947. And we were so far on the edge of town that you could see Concordia College real plain from our front yard.
So some of the truck farming business took place at that same address then?
At the same address, which is now completely housed.
What was the nationality of your parents, Norm?
Both my parents came from Norway. I can't remember the exact year, but they're both Norwegians.
Okay. Marge, your birthplace?
I was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My parents, my father's name was Carl Carlson. He was a big, tall, handsome Swede. And my mother was a cute little Norwegian girl, and they were kind enough to adopt me when I was 6 years old. So I am Irish and French, but truly, I'm Norwegian and Swede.
And how did you meet Norman?
Norman was a delivery boy at Briggs Floral, and when I went to high school, which I went to Moorhead Public Schools, as Norm did, I had to walk through Briggs Floral. I didn't have to, but he was such a cute boy that I cut through there. And I said hi to him, and pretty soon I got to know him, and then I got a job at Briggs Floral, who was then owned by J.W. Briggs, and that was in about 1937. And we became real good friends.
All right, this brings us then to the operation of your business, which through the years was called
Town and Country Flowers.
Town and Country Flowers, and that was located again at the address, is it 1320?
1301 2nd Street South, Moorhead, Minnesota.
And as of today's date, that business is still in operation?
Yes, it is.
Good. That business was, we sold the business in 1981, and we've been retired since. But I should say we started our business in the old Comstock Hotel as a small flower shop and built the greenhouse the following year at 1301 2nd Street.
Okay. Well, we'll just back up just a little bit now. From your remarks, Marge, it sounds like Norm was working at Briggs Floral.
That's correct.
And that would have been about 1936. When did you start working?
I started in 1935 as a delivery boy.
And what sort of background did you have? How did you become employed at Briggs Floral? Did you have an interest, or did you have special training at NDSU? Or?
Well, actually, I was born and raised on a truck farm growing vegetables. If you can grow vegetables, you can grow flowers. But when I first started as a delivery boy, I didn't have to have any knowledge of flower growing until we went into business for ourselves.
And so you simply applied at Briggs Floral, and or did you have help in getting that job?
Well, I worked in the truck farms all summer, and when the fall came, they needed some help, part-time drivers, so I started as such.
Do you remember what your wages were at that time, Norm?
I thought they were just great because I'd been working in the fields for 75 cents a day, and here I was getting $9 a week delivering flowers, and I thought I really had it made, which I did.
And you joined Briggs Floral, Marge, in 1937, and then?
I think it was about then. They were celebrating their 50th anniversary in business, and I got the big job of cleaning daisies that had been shipped from California.
Well, what brought you from Minneapolis?
Oh, my father was a railroad man, and he was transferred here.
And it was at Briggs Floral then that you kind of noticed the handsome Norm Overby, and you decided to become married, right?
Took a little while,
okay.
But we decided it.
Then, now in the starting of the business, you both worked at Briggs Floral, but you decided to start. Now, how did you start? Was it in the Comstock?
Well, but first, see, we were at Briggs Floral until Norm went into the service. Norm was in the Army during World War II. And when he got out of the Army, that's when we decided that we should be in business for ourselves. So we first went to Mr. Briggs, who was our friend and employer, and asked him if he would like to sell his business, and he said no. So then there wasn't anything else to do except go to the bank and borrow some money on Norm's GI Bill, which we did, $2,500. Built the flower shop in the Comstock Hotel and opened it on January 9th.
Now, where did you grow the plants and flowers? Or was it just flowers?
We didn't grow them in those days, Norm. The first flowers, the first plants that we had, we got from Hans Rosager, who was our very good friend, who encouraged us to be in business for ourselves. He gave us 47 poinsettia plants, and told us to go home, build a flower shop, sell the plants, and come back and get some more, and we wouldn't have to pay for the first 47.
All right.
It's true.
Did Hans have a greenhouse, or did he have a business?
The Hans Rose Ecker Company. It's at 1850 Stenson Boulevard.
So he already in business, so you purchased your flowers and whatever from him.
Plants. Because he didn't sell cut flowers. That's a different kind of a business.
Did you have cut flowers at all then?
Oh yes, we had cut flowers.
And where did they come from?
Northern States Floral Service.
Minneapolis. Is that in Minneapolis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how were they shipped in the 1930s by
Railway Express?
How long would that take?
Overnight.
Oh, just overnight. So you had the courage to make long-distance telephone calls in those days and spend that kind of money to secure the flowers? And did you take a chance? Did you stock flowers, or did you simply fill orders?
Well, we had to stock them, John, because overnight, the flower business is right now. When you order flowers, you wish you would have done it yesterday because you want them delivered in the morning, but you didn't order them till the afternoon. So you always have to have plenty of merchandise so that you can take care of your customers.
So then there is a loss of through delay in selling and perishable. That's
mm-hmm.
the word that I was, and that must be figured in on your businesses and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from the Comstock, then how did you get to the next location, which was on 13?
Well, I didn't like the retail business too well, so I decided if we don't get a greenhouse, why I'd have to do some other line of work. So we decided to build a greenhouse, so we went to St. Cloud and tore down a big range of glass and moved it to Moorhead and built the greenhouse.
So you bought the glass in St. Cloud. Was it new glass or used?
Very old, about 30 years old.
How did you get it from St. Cloud to...
We dismantled the greenhouses and packed the glass and all the equipment and sent it down by truck.
Including the rafters and the boiler and the whole works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in getting the greenhouse established in Moorhead, transported this glass, which was obtained from a greenhouse in St. Cloud. Okay. Now, why didn't you just buy new glass and so on?
Well, it was too close to World War II, and the new material was hard to come by. So we found this big place in St. Cloud that was... I was starting to be, I guess they were through in the business, and it was just empty, so we bought it, and we dismantled the whole thing, and not knowing anything about the structure of it, we took pictures of it with a camera before we tore it down, and put it back up according to the pictures.
Who was we?
Well, my brother and I and a couple of friends. We worked from 7 in the morning till 9 at night for 2 weeks straight and tore down the whole thing.
Your brother's name was?
Big Brother Herman.
Big Brother Herman. Did he become a part of your business also?
He became the grower in the business.
All right. So, as an illustration, could we ask about how much money had to be invested in 1930, in the 1930s to begin such a business to purchase the materials for the greenhouse and so on?
Norm's GI Bill was good for $2,500, and for $2,500 we got the flower shop, the greenhouse, the truck, the cash register, the set of books, and the property.
Did you purchase the property?
We purchased the property from Norm's dad for $8,000.
And now, was Herman a partner in the business, or was he employed by you, or how was that set up?
Herman was employed by us.
And by us, you're speaking of Marge and yourself.
That's right.
Did you form a corporation, or what sort of a...
We formed a partnership at the beginning, and it's been a partnership ever until we retired.
And you started out with one employee, who was...
Was Herman Overby.
Okay. Now, can you, both of you, just feel free to explain the development of your business from the partnership with one employee, and then what happened, and try to give dates on when the business expanded and so on.
I'm not very good at dates, but had the business really started to expand when Norm took a correspondence course in growing flowers, because he had already the background of growing in the vegetables. And then when they built the greenhouse, then we lost our lease at the Comstock Hotel, which we thought, you know, the whole world came to an end. Actually, that was good for us. We moved out to where the greenhouse was located, and at that time we'd already spent the $2,500. So we needed a couple thousand more, and they came out from the bank and said no. Way too far out in the country. No business will ever make it past 4th Street. And this is way out here. You can't have any money. But we got the money from Gate City. And that that's really when our business started to grow. Norm would grow the flowers and I would sell them. Then we eventually got to have some more employees. And I can remember saying to Herm one time, when I gave him his check for $50, which was for 2 weeks, Herm, someday you'll make $400 a month here. I know you will. Well, he made about a couple times that much, at least three times that much.
But back in those days, you mentioned the cash register. As you set up your business and employed people, let's see, was there Social Security, was there income tax, was there, what fringe benefits did employees get, and how did that work?
There were no fringe benefits. Employees got 50 cents an hour.
You're speaking in 1937.
When we opened the flower shop. No, this was 1947.
1947.
Mm-hmm. And they got 50 cents an hour. And so when the holiday came, we would employ extra people. But normally, it was Norm and I and Herm. And then we had a young lady who came in, whose name was Beverly Tate. She was a student at MS, and she worked part-time so that I could go out and do demonstrations and all the things that you do to try and get your business going.
You said that you purchased a truck early in the business. Was that for delivery, or was that to, I wanted to get at whether the truck was used to bring in your inventory kind of thing, or was
no,
it for delivery?
The truck was for delivery, and when it went into business in the Comstock Hotel, you couldn't get a new car in those days either because it was too close to the war unless you signed up early. So we went to Minneapolis and bought a 1941 Chevrolet, what they called a sedan delivery those days. And we had that for several years.
Did you charge for delivering plants and flowers? Or what?
Charging for delivery in those days was absolutely unheard of.
Did you deliver outside of Fargo Moorhead area, or was your business large?
No, we'd get out 25, 30 miles in the fringe area.
I believe you mentioned that in your partnership arrangement that you, Norm, assumed the responsibility after getting the correspondence course of doing the growing, and to Marge, you kind of took over the sales and marketing.
We divided our business up in a really neat way. We never got tired of working together because we never really did. Norm ran the greenhouse and I ran the flower shop. And he didn't really like, as he said, the retail business, so he never really liked to come in the flower shop except to visit. And I certainly did not want to grow any flowers, so I hardly ever went in the greenhouse. It was an excellent arrangement.
To what extent do you believe that your success was dependent upon the marketing and the way in which this question really comes from the banker's suggestion that you couldn't do it, so I was suggesting that maybe marketing had something to do with your success.
Oh, I'm sure that... I don't think that it really... Yes, of course marketing does, because if you don't get your product out, you don't sell it. But the success came really to us because we went to work every day, and every day we worked real hard, and we believed in our business. We didn't always make money, John. We made a lot of money in the flower business. We spent a lot of money. But in the very beginning, it was tough. You shut the telephone off once.
We also kept current on what was going on at all times. Forest Telegraph Delivery put on business management courses quite often, which Marge attended. And I went to the University of Minnesota at least once a month to keep current on the growing conditions and growing, not so much conditions, but growing trends of different ways to grow flowers, easier ways, labor-saving ways, different varieties of flowers and the way to do it. Keeping current, I think, on what goes on is quite important.
You know, as a person who is very a novice in this field, I see an outlet in funerals, in weddings, in banquets, in special occasions. Did you make any attempt to open those avenues and others? Did you in marketing?
Well, my favorite thing was when we were still in the Comstock Hotel, any man that would come in my flower shop that would wear a flower, I would give him a boutonniere. And I just thought that, you know, if one saw it, the other one would do it. And I finally did get about 10 spiffy gentlemen on Center Avenue. Gar Rusted and Walt Grantham, and I can't remember who all they were.
Jack Lamb.
So you think then that the success in the business that you described is largely in word of mouth, a recommendation kind of thing, that there is promptness in delivery, a fair price, fresh cut flowers, disease-free plants. Is that the substance of how you build a business? Or?
I think that's about it. But you know, you can buy a flower or a plant many places. Now you can buy them more places now than you could then. But the service is one of the big things, and a fair price.
By service, how do you service this kind of a business?
Well, when you're, John, you have two sons, but if you would have had a daughter and she would be going to get married, come to the flower shop, then we would be able to do all the things that the florist could do, including delivering, decorating the church, seeing that the bride got down the aisle, decorating the cake, getting the reception ready. That's the service part of...
Okay, Marge, did your competitors do all these things?
No.
That's that answer, I think, seems to speak partly, too, to marketing service, then, in the marketing of service as a way to build the successful business. Okay, did you always operate on cash? Did people always pay cash, or did you allow charge accounts, and how did that? I'd like to know how you kept records when you started in the 40s versus how it was when you concluded.
Well, we always had charges. The very first customer in our flower shop was Mrs. B. Duncan, Dr. Duncan's wife, and she came in and bought a $9 arrangement for a bridal shower and charged it. First sale. A man by the name of Raul Turek, we used to do the books for the Comstock Hotel, so he came in and said, you know, I'm here anyway, would you like this service? And I said, sure. I didn't really know what that service was, but I knew we had to have books. And so he set up a little bookkeeping system for us, and the most expensive piece of equipment that we had was a cash register. It cost more than the truck. And it was the most important thing because it tells a story. Your cash register tape at the end of the day. And that's what Mr. Turek taught us. And that's, we did the same thing until we retired 35 years later.
Was there a charge, interest charge on accounts past 15 days or 30 days?
No, there was no interest charge.
Never?
Never.
At any time. Was there difficulties in having charge accounts? Were most of your accounts collectible, or?
Well, we wrote off. I think the florists are more fortunate than some other businesses. When I went to FTD school, I found out that we charged off, the average florist charged off less than 0.1%. Which is way above the national average.
Kind of bouncing around here, and excuse me for being an inexperienced interviewer, but I'd like to go back to the time when we had the three people involved, Herman, you, Mark, and you, Norm. Then you mentioned part-time help. How did the number of employees and the way in which they were paid relative to fringe benefits changed through the years?
Well, by the time we retired, our employees were, we had a small retirement plan for them, and we had all of their hospitalization paid, and plus we paid any starting employee 10 cents above minimum. And then, of course, we had, I think we had about 19 employees. You know, you wouldn't think you'd forget that, but unfortunately you do. And none of them, when we left, were at the minimum wage. So from the 50 cents an hour.
How many employees was the largest number? Say, I suspect that Easter is a time when, or maybe Christmas, what is the largest number of employees that you might have had at any time?
It's Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
It's 32 people, and we had a very fine young man that used to come in and route the deliveries. And I would, of course, let him hire the delivery people then. And I had been to work one morning, and Norm and I scooted to the bank or someplace, and we came back and came back through the back door, and this young man said to us, can I help you? And I said, no, I don't think so, but you could probably help us. And he didn't realize who we were, you know.
Okay. Now, we were talking about cut flowers, we were talking about plants. Did you get into any other, did your business expand into any other sales of, say, fertilizer or garden machinery, or did you expand the business in any way that way?
Well, for a while we were in the nursery business and sold a lot of trees and shrubs, and then we had, I think we had the largest garden store in the two towns at one time, and sold an awful lot of fertilizer and seeds and garden supplies, home garden supplies.
Fertilizer must have been a rather small part of your business in the 1940s as compared to the late 1970s.
That's true. We got the Scots. In those days, the Scots just gave the franchise to certain people who could handle it. And we sold I would say about 1,200, 1,500 bags of fertilizer in a couple of weeks.
Okay, Norm, I remember that you said you went back to school often. I'm going to turn over the tape now, but I'd like you to answer the question when we turn over the tape of what changes you think have occurred for people who might go into the business today as compared to 1940. Okay, can you talk about some of the changes you saw that you see that way?
Are you talking about changes in the growing part or changes in the business itself, or how do you mean?
Well, I guess what I was suggesting, what I hear you saying, is that it might be difficult for someone with the background that you had in 1937 to make it. But it seems like it's more complex relative to insecticides, nature of the soil, this sort of thing.
Well, in those days, they didn't have such a thing as a floriculture course in the University of Minnesota, which they do now. But these days, if you wanted to go in the flower business, you could, or especially greenhouse business, you could go out and hire a greenhouse manager, and he would have gone to college and learned all about floriculture and agriculture, and would be able to run the greenhouse without any problem at all. You wouldn't have to know anything about the flower business. You could probably know about business. And if you know about business, you can do any business.
Nice. Okay, that explains that well. All right, Marge, in concluding our interview this afternoon, can you cite changes that you have seen over the years in the business?
Well, when we first went into business, Valentine's Day has always been my favorite holiday. And we'd have like 25 deliveries. The last Valentine's Day that we had at Town and Country, that was not a day, it was a week, and we had like 2,500 deliveries. Holidays. The flower business is in its infancy in the United States of America. That's not true in Europe, because in Europe, if you go to somebody's house, you stop and grab a few flowers and off you go. We don't do that yet in America, but it'll come to that.
Is that right?
That's true. The more people that sell flowers, the more flowers the florists will sell.
You agree with that, Norm?
I think that's very true, but in the latter years, I was going to add, we had what we call a plant lease. And we had plants in places like the telephone company, banks, clinics. We had them all over town. And we took care of the plants, and if something went wrong with them, we'd replace them, but we'd keep the plants going at all times. It was called plant lease. It was one of the new parts of the flower business that we never used to have in the old days. And we'd ship as much as a carload of plants in from Florida at a time to supply these flat lease locations.
How did you get to know about these outlets that you mentioned, like in Florida? Was there a salesman that visited your business, or did you get it from magazines, or how did you know about sources?
Well, it's a case of keeping current again. You learn it from the salesmen that come in, and you learn it from trade magazines.
Conventions.
And conventions. And I belong to the Minnesota Commercial Flower Growers, which met a lot of times right at the University of Minnesota St. Paul campus. And we'd either listen to the professors there or go out to different greenhouses in the big Twin City area and learn.
I sense, as going through this interview, which has been a lot of fun for me, that both of you put a very high priority on becoming expert in your field, that you voluntarily went to involve yourself in correspondence, kept current with conventions and that sort of thing. And that you put a very high priority on quality and what I learned about service. We've had a sort of an unstructured interview. Can you think of things that you might like to have included in this rather valuable history of your business in the Fargo Moorhead area? Is there something that you'd like to add?
I would like to say to young people that go into the business that when they go into not only the flower business but any business, they got to be ready to work. Plain ordinary work, because it all boils down to work. You can't sit around and wait for people to come in. You got to go out and get them and bring them in.
Well, I think after that, that's about everything that's been said. I did it.
All right. Just one other part to add to our interview, and this is not a regular part. But I have noted that during the time that I've known you, both of you, you have contributed much to the Fargo Moorhead community. And not only did you have a successful business, but somehow you contributed a great deal. Does this, do you have anything to say regarding that and regarding future businesses and their responsibility toward that, or you don't have to answer that?
Everybody has a responsibility to their town. Moorhead and Fargo were extremely good to us. And so anytime we could do something for the area, we were real happy to do it. I was a good chamber person. I liked to do chamber work. And somebody else might not like the chamber, but they might like another place where they could do something for the community. Norm was a good service club person.
When you take things out of a community, you've got to be ready to put things back.
That's a very good note to end on. This has been an interview with Marge and Norm Overby, owners and operators of a partnership business called Town and Country Flowers. This is John Nettleton as a facilitator interviewer.